Broadcasting live from atop the Rocky Mountains, the crossroads of the West. You are listening to the Liberty Roundtable Radio Talk Show.
All right. Happy to have you along, my fellow Americans. Sam Bushman live on your radio. Hard-hitting news the networks refuse to use, no doubt, starts now. This, my fellow Americans, is the broadcast for April the 29th in the year of our Lord, 2023. This is hour one of two, and the goal always to protect life, liberty, and property, to promote God, family, and country, to do so on your radio in the traditions of our founding fathers. Yes, indeed, we use the blueprint for liberty, along with the checks and balances brilliantly put in place by the founding fathers as the supreme law of the land, as our guide. Wow, we need the supreme law, ladies and gentlemen, don't we? Anything else is nothing but propaganda. Let's stand with the supreme law. You don't like it? There's ways to change it. Welcome to the broadcast. As you know, we reject revolution. We stand for peaceful restoration of the greatest country on the face of the earth. As you know, we're also live 6 days a week, 2 hours a day. We do our very best to have incredible around-the-clock coverage. Yes, indeed, ladies and gentlemen. All right, we had Dr. Scott Bradley with us yesterday. Great hour, I might add. And Scott and Sam discussed the weather, water, flooding, the lakes, Jesus Christ, and a whole lot more. We then had our guest on, Pete Sepp of the National Taxpayers Union, NTU.org. We talked about Ron DeSantis promised to kneecap ESG in his state and to prohibit the implementation of a central digital currency. Good for Ron. We talked about the GOP debt limit plan. It's simply not enough, folks. When will we abolish the IRS? We asked that question. New York's budget, believe it or not, is twice the size of Florida's, even though Florida has 1 million more citizens. What's up with that? In the second hour with Dr. Scott Bradley, we talked about let's please apply the rightful remedy, the proper role of constitutional liberty government. We talked about Tucker Carlson's posts a video, True Things Prevail. Amen to Tucker. He's right on that score. We'll get into the Tucker discussion later in the broadcast today as well. We also talked about Disney filed a lawsuit against Ron DeSantis of Florida, alleging that the governor has waged a relentless campaign to weaponize government power. Wow, I think that the problem is Disney has had too much power. They've had special privilege at the trough of government for too long. I digress. Many people are saying that Ron DeSantis is involved in overreach and may have bit off too much when it comes to Disney. Well, all I can tell you is Disney or no other large company deserves a special privilege to have their own law enforcement, their own governmental guidelines within their property jurisdictions, different than any other private property owner. Do they? See, that's the problem whenever we pull the government lever in the favor of the few at the expense of the many, it always runs off the rails. Good for Ron to bring this up. Ron DeSantis, far from perfect. Donald Trump, far from perfect. Tucker Carlson, far from perfect. But you know what? We're far from perfect too, right? We need to just quit backing or attacking people. What we need to do is look at issues, look at principles. And then if they're good, honest, right, moral principles, back them no matter who they're from. If they're bad, reject them no matter who they're from. Yeah. Let me give you an incredible example of this, ladies and gentlemen. The Gateway Pundit is a great website. Jim Hoft is the runner of that website. And from what I understand, I read that he's gay, that he married his husband, that he came out as gay and this kind of stuff. Now, I don't agree with that. I personally think that's a sin and it's wrong. But Jim produces a lot of great work. And others who work with him produce a lot of great work. We're going to introduce our guest, and then we're going to talk about that first. Chris Carlson, welcome back to Liberty Roundtable Live, sir.
Yes, sir. Without God, we cannot win, Sam. With God, we cannot lose. The battle for freedom is the Lord's, but we need to be engaged in that battle. Lieutenant Carlson, reporting for duty, sir.
All right. As you know, I've been keeping an eye on the ball for a long time regarding the January 6th scandal. And you have too. And we really appreciate your leadership and keeping an eye on that ball, because we've got to report the truth on that, Chris. But so has the Gateway Pundit. So has Revolver Magazine. So has WorldNet Daily. So has the Epoch Times. There are several of us keeping an eye on the truth on this thing. Now, I don't know if you know, but I had on that gentleman the other day that was, his name is Richard, and he is going to prison. I don't know if you heard that broadcast, but he had some riveting details about him entering the Capitol, putting his feet up on Pelosi's desk. He was in the Capitol less than 6 minutes, and he literally got 4 misdemeanors and 4 felonies out of it. None of them are federal, really federal crimes in any way. I don't know. Did you hear that broadcast, Chris?
I heard part of that broadcast, and I was very sympathetic to his plight. His wife is disabled.
Right.
He's been blackballed for a lot of jobs. And he has that GoFundMe or
it's now GiveSend Go. GoFundMe raised a bunch of money and shut him down and didn't give him any of the money. Shame on them. Anyway, nevertheless, Victoria White, we brought up, a friend of ours as well, who came on the radio the next day after January 6th. They tried to come on during January 6th, but the problem is they locked down all communications, so she couldn't. But Richard and Victoria and others are working together. Well, I've got more on this from the Gateway Pundit. This is where, again, we need to agree with the things we agree with and disagree with what we disagree with. When Jim Hoft comes out as gay, I disagree with that. You know what? I'm disappointed. I think he's mixed up. I think it's a sin. I think it's wrong. But you know what? The Gateway Pundit has the best readers, says the headline from Jim Hoft. Why, you ask? Because the Gateway Pundit raises $27,000 for a January 6th defendant slash political prisoner by the name of Thomas Smith. Thomas Smith was forced to camp in Washington, D.C. Park because he could not afford a hotel. He could not afford a hotel room during his, quote, government trial. Thank you, Gateway Pundit readers, says Jim Hoft, because they raised money. Now the guy doesn't have to stay in the park. Okay? This is a serious reality, ladies and gentlemen. This is what we're talking about. What the heck is going on? This political prisoner, Thomas Smith, and his cousin, I guess, went to try to help out there, and now he's guilty, supposedly, and he doesn't even have enough money to stay in a decent place while he's at trial. He can't not go to trial, or he'll be held in contempt of court, Chris. This is the kind of stuff we're talking about.
Yeah, it looks like they've got all the power and we don't have any, and we're losing it, that we do have. So it's designed to demoralize us, to discourage us, to give us the sense that we have no defense against their criminal and corrupt attack on us. And they want us to give in. Some people will. I won't. You know, I'll go to my grave fighting the deep state, fighting tyranny. Whatever exists, whether it's against me personally or against my friends, it's the same. Like Martin Luther King said, injustice anywhere is an injustice everywhere.
So, and that's where, see, I think Martin Luther King is a perverted adulterous person.
Plagiarist, adulterous.
He isn't at all who he said he was. And behind the scenes shows a big difference. However, some of the statements that he made were right. The one you pointed to are right. Looking at the content of someone's character as opposed to their skin color is a true point. He spoke a lot of truth. What we can do is reject the wrongs about someone and embrace the truth, the right, the good. And we need to learn to do that about everybody. But the Gateway Pundit also had a couple of points they made that I think are really important. Things that we now know from video evidence, etc. Listen carefully to this, Chris. It is clear at this point from hours of video, even though we don't have it all, we have a lot. Footage released from January the 6th, 2021, that the violence and the rioting only started that afternoon after Capitol Police and DC Police began firing off CS gas, rubber bullets, beanbags, sound grenades, indiscriminately on the tens of thousands of Trump supporters that were there, including men, women, children, seniors, veterans, and others who marched to the U.S. Capitol that day. That is abundantly clear. Let me tell you what else is also abundantly clear. It is also clear that there were hundreds of undercover government operatives working inside the crowds that day and directing the criminal conduct. This is beyond debate now. It's so much so that they took a poll and 65% of the American people now, 65% of U.S. voters, believe that it's likely that undercover agents provoked the J6th U.S. Capitol riot. This is huge information, and good for the Gateway Pundit to focus on this. Good for us helping this gentleman. I don't know that he needs $27,000 for a hotel room, but hey, he's got travel expenses and everything else. You know what? Helping someone get on their feet is a good thing. Let's pay it forward. Let's do it. But man, what a criminalistic government we have in this case, and it becomes evident at every move they make, Chris.
Yeah, well, now that Tucker Carlson has been fired from Fox, maybe he can take all of those files and surveillance videos that he got.
No, he can't.
From the government.
He never got them. No, that's
no,
a lie.
Can't.
Stop.
I know.
He never got them, sir. He was able to go view it on a government computer, and that is all. He doesn't have anything to show you. Kevin McCarthy lied to you, and Tucker, by his non-speaking out against McCarthy, allowed the lie to continue.
You know where the solution can be found, Mr. President? In churches, in wedding chapels, in maternity wards across the country and around the world. More babies will mean forward-looking adults, the sort we need to tackle long-term, large-scale problems. American babies in particular are likely going to be wealthier, better educated, and more conservation-minded than children raised in still industrializing countries. As economist Tyler Cowen recently wrote, quote, by having more children, you're making your nation more populous, thus boosting its capacity to solve climate change. The planet does not need for us to think globally and act locally so much as it needs us to think family and act personally. The solution to so many of our problems, at all times and in all places, is to fall in love, get married, and have some kids.
As you are aware, America is divided over every fault line possible. This is intentionally fostered by those who do not love God, family, or country. We believe a peaceful future as a free people absolutely depends on civility. Clarion Call for Civility is looking for funding and volunteers at every level to make our hopes and efforts a reality. Please donate, sign our pledge, and help us in our sacred cause. Please visit callforcivility.com for more details. Callforcivility.com.
Fighting for the soul of liberty and true pursuit of happiness for everyone. Freedom Fest 2023 is coming to the home of the blues and birthplace of rock and roll, Memphis, Tennessee, July 12th through 15th. It's the ultimate summit for liberty, educating and empowering through art, music, film, and comedy, while promoting economic freedom and highlighting today's political issues. Use promo code ROUND50 to save $50 off the current rate. Reserve your spot at freedomfest.com. See you in Memphis.
Live and on your radio, ladies and gentlemen, Sam Bushman, Chris Carlson together on your radio. We're talking about this incredible article by the Gateway Pundit. Literally, this Thomas Smith gentleman has to stay in a park, a public park, while he goes through his trial in D.C. Maybe, I guess, jail might give him a little bit better place to stay in, three squares a day and that kind of stuff. Oh, what a shame this is. But the Gateway Pundit readers literally, in my opinion, raised $27,000 to help this guy give, send, go. What a great deal that is. It's also clear there were hundreds of undercover government agents involved. This is just sick. But, folks, you can still donate to Thomas Smith's Give, Send, Go campaign so this political prisoner can sleep in a hotel this week. Anyway, I thought would bring that to your attention. Also, talk show host and former Cincinnati mayor. Jerry Springer died on Thursday at the age of 79. I guess he got cancer. Died very quickly from there. You remember Jerry Springer as kids, Chris. That's kind of where the division politics kind of divided on every side began. Really, he was kind of the king of getting that started, huh?
Yeah, entertainment-based politics. well, I mean, social dilemma resolutions. I don't know if they ever resolved any of that. Was fun stuff, man. That was kind of my guilty pleasure. I don't think I watched more than maybe two episodes, but it was entertaining. So
well it's entertaining.
Him.
The problem, though, is that at first it's kind of just a joke. It's kind of like a professional wrestling or whatever else. It's fun. They talk big and trash talk and throw chairs at each other, and no one really gets hurt because half of it's not real. But at the end of the day, that kind of started the divisions, in my opinion. You got that, and then Barack Obama, and then Donald Trump, and you got these divisionary experts that are really dividing the people. I don't think it's by accident. I think it's by design. And I really go the opposite direction. I have a clarion call out for civility, Chris.
Yeah, and that was continued by Donald Trump, I think. I mean, his presidency obliged people to lower their moral standards of what is acceptable and what is not. I mean, he said some things and acted in ways that I thought was very unpresidential. And a lot of people would rationalize it by saying, well, it doesn't matter, you know, he represents what is conservative about this country. Even though he really didn't, that was just a foil as well. But it made people more obliged to lower their own personal standards because, you know, what we see in our leadership tends to be what is acceptable in society in general. And I think Jerry Springer helped to accomplish that, unfortunately, and a lot of politicians today do the same thing.
Yes, indeed. And the dilemma we have is this: how do we remain civil? How do we remain decent and respectable and respectful and kind and all these kind of things, but yet hold to the truth? You know, sometimes we're so afraid of offending our enemies that would rather offend God. That's not a stable place to be either, ladies and gentlemen. So how do I hold true to my God, to my beliefs, to my governing values? How do I be kind to others who don't share them? How do I not attack people, but deal with principle, and when the principle's wrong, stand against it politely, nobly, clearly? When they abuse us and use us wrongfully, you know what? We should turn the other cheek and be kind. But at the same time, we can't equivocate. We can't melt down. We can't change our views or soften the truth on the altar of, oh, I got to go along to get along. Or I can't speak out on what I believe because it means that I'm not kind or gentle. Or okay, these are where the lies begin, Chris.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, we're so afraid of what our neighbor or our coworkers or our friends or family will say that we will literally compromise our standards to facilitate for their expectations on our part. And as society degenerates, like we've just talked about, we tend to lower our own personal standards to accommodate or facilitate those people. And we, in the process, we offend God. We should look to God as our standard bearer, and try to conform our speech and our actions to his expectations. And we're not. We're failing miserably as a Christian nation in that regard.
Well, and we're failing because we really break the Ten Commandments on a daily basis, societally speaking. Dateline San Francisco to highlight this point, Chris.
Dateline San Francisco. Well, are you referring to Doug Casey, the rising crime, legalized shoplifting, and other disturbing trends in U.S. cities?
Yeah, you got these two social justice warriors that broke into a furniture store in San Francisco, right?
Oh, yeah. Dateline San Francisco. Yeah, so this is a riddle. I want your audience to see if they can figure this one out. Two social justice warriors break into a furniture store in San Francisco and steal a couch. Each of the social justice warriors carries each end of the couch. If the couch retails at $1,899, can the social justice warrior be prosecuted in the city of San Francisco for their crime? The answer is no, because they have the legal right to steal up to $950 worth of merchandise without being prosecuted. as criminals. So if you divide 1,899 by two, it is a penny less than $950. So they're clear. They're not criminals, Sam. I mean, get off their backs. It's the law, right? And it was passed democratically. So it's got to be just. I mean, we live in a democracy, don't we? And majority rules. So the majority says anything below that, you're good to go. So no, they do not get prosecuted. They're not criminals. They're upstanding citizens who have been wronged by a majority white Christian society. And if you don't have sympathy for them, well, you're just a bigot. That's all you are. Anyway, so
now the reason that that's a riddle, ladies and gentlemen, is because that's not exactly factual. However, Doug Casey, the international man, or internationalman.com is kind of his website or whatever. But Doug Casey literally wrote about this in parts of California and other states, this de facto shoplifting issue where, you know what, they're not even going to prosecute. They don't really consider it a crime anymore. So they haven't really totally changed the laws, but they kind of have because they're not going to prosecute. They're not going to go after those crimes. And this started with these illegal alien cities, these sanctuary cities where they're just simply not going to obey the laws. And now we're starting to see it relating to small crimes and et cetera, right?
Oh, yeah. I mean, what if you get more of what you tolerate. And that's Bradley Dean says that a lot. I think you used to have Bradley Dean. Maybe you still do have him on your network. But you basically, as a Christian nation, tolerance is not necessarily virtue. And Doug Casey goes into that. And here's the interesting thing about Doug Casey on his website, The International Man. Doug Casey is an atheist. And, you know, I don't consider that a virtue. But if an atheist can figure these things out, what excuse do you have? You can't say, well, I don't believe in God, or I worship a different God, or I have a different religion. Well, so does Doug Casey. He's an atheist, but he's still a moral individual, and he can identify the difference between good and evil. And if he can do that, what excuse do we Christians who claim accountability to a higher authority? What claim do we have, or what excuse or rationale do we have for allowing this chaos to happen in a 75 to 80% Christian nation? We don't. So he goes on to say that the real problem is that the moral fabric of the U.S. and many other Western countries is torn. There's not much of a moral compass left. It is no longer clear to the average American, who is more likely than not a Christian, what is right and what is wrong. And that's the problem. We are so busy trying to please what we perceive as the majority, because the media basically creates this consensus that certain things are right or certain things are wrong. And if we're getting our news from Fox or CNN or NBC or MSNBC or one of these news outlets, we'll get the impression that the consensus is that certain groups of people in the United States have been oppressed. And because they've been oppressed, somehow they have the right to break into furniture stores and steal furniture with impunity. Now, I don't know to what degree we've been captured, you know, by that rationale, but it appears to be pretty much so, because I know when I was in San Francisco, none of this chaos was happening. I'm not saying everything was hunky-dory, but things have really degenerated over the last few years. And I think right now here, we live in Utah, we're pretty fortunate. None of this stuff is going on here. But according to Doug Casey, eventually it will. If we allow it to happen in these major cities, eventually it's going to spill over, because what's going to happen, Sam, and he talks about this, businesses are starting to close down in San Francisco and in Portland and Chicago and Washington, D.C. and Baltimore. We'll talk about that.
And
on
as
the
long
other side
as we
of the break.
Continue to turn our back on God, ladies and gentlemen, you can expect it to accelerate. Sad but true. There are solutions, though. We'll talk about them on your radio.
Protecting your liberties. You're listening to Liberty News Radio.
U.S. USA News, I'm Jeremy Scott. First Republic Bank is now the third bank to fail this year after the collapse of Silicon Valley Bank and Signature Bank. Reuters reports the FDIC is taking over the troubled bank under receivership imminently, saying there isn't any more time for a rescue of the bank through the private sector. The Office of the Director of National Intelligence released a report Friday showing that FBI searches without a warrant went from over 3.4 million in 2021 to just over 200,000 in 2022. That's a drop of nearly 94%. The report says the reduction is a result of changes to the FBI's systems relating to person queries, and that reforms in the Bureau have had a significant effect on their practices. Army pilots across the U.S. are being grounded after two recent helicopter crashes killed 12 soldiers. The Army Chief of Staff is grounding all pilots who are not involved in critical missions until required training is complete. This comes after three soldiers died in a helicopter crash in Alaska on Thursday, and nine others died last month in Kentucky. If Donald Trump gets back into the White House, he might address abortion.
The former president is suggesting that he could sign legislation banning abortions after 15 weeks of pregnancy. Speaking to WMUR in New Hampshire, Trump was asked if he'd sign the federal abortion ban proposed by South Carolina Senator Lindsey Graham. Trump said he would look at it and is considering a lot of different options. He faced backlash from anti-abortion groups recently for his position that abortion restrictions should be left up to individual states and not the federal government. I'm Jerry Barmash.
Most of Yosemite National Park is closed until next week because of expected flooding. The Merced River is expected to reach flood stage this weekend with rising temperatures melting snowpack. Dozens of families in Wisconsin are being forced from their homes as flooding peaks on the Mississippi River. More than three dozen homes affected. This is USA News.
Greece is cheap.
But the airfare costs a fortune.
Paris?
Not much closer, and again, airfare...
What about Puerto Vallarta?
Let's face it, flying anywhere is just too expensive.
Wait, what's this? Low-cost airlines.
With one call to low-cost airlines, you'll drastically slash your travel costs. We're talking insanely low airline prices to any of your favorite destinations. Where would you like to go? London, Rome, Costa Rica, Australia?
Wow, that's cheap.
So why wait? Call now to learn how crazy cheap it is to fly anywhere in the U.S. or international. Our prices are so low, we can't publish them. The only way to get them is to call to instantly hear the most amazing best deals on airline travel. It's that easy. So call now and start packing.
800-215-5141. 800-215-5141. 800-215-5141. That's 800-215-5141.
Live and on your radio, ladies and gentlemen, Sam Bushman, Chris Carlson, talking about this incredible column by Doug Casey. The real problem, ladies and gentlemen, in America is that the moral fabric of the United States and many other Western countries is torn. There's not much of a moral compass left. People don't really know what's right and what's even wrong these days. They don't know if they're a male or a female, Chris.
Yeah, and, you know, if if something so obvious as your gender is under question, you know, what else? I mean, everything else can be questioned, right? You know, the color of my skin is black, therefore I'm due reparations. In fact, in San Francisco, there is a proposal that a city ordinance be passed that would literally give black people $5 million just because their ancestors 160 years ago were enslaved. Now, I don't think in the near term that something like that would ever be passed, because even the city council of San Francisco is not dumb enough to realize the consequences thereof. I mean, everybody would move out of the city that has any money, that, you know, that doesn't have money coming their way. In other words, any non-minorities. But even the suggestion, Sam, think about this, that suggestion itself will have a devastating effect, and is having a devastating effect on the African-American population in the city of San Francisco. And I believe it has a lot to do with what's going on. We talked about a business that established itself there about oh, 6 months ago. I can't remember the name of the business. It literally got broken into so often they had to put metal gates up in the plate glass window because they kept breaking the plate glass window and going into the store and stealing the merchandise. But even when they put the gates up and only opened the doors during business hours when customers would knock on the door, they would have thugs around the corner lying in wait for that door to open, and they would literally go into the store and ransack it. As long as they didn't steal any more than $950 worth of merchandise, they were cool. And I don't even know, how do you determine how much merchandise is stolen in the first place? So they eventually had to bail out. So there you go. But the mere suggestion that you're entitled to $5 million because of the color of your skin and because of something that was abolished 160 plus years ago, I mean, that has an effect on your psyche and on your, like we said, the lowering of moral standards and the distortion of reality. Doug Casey says in the article, when people think they're due reparations, the next step is for them to think, or rather feel, since there's no logical thought involved, that they have a moral right to steal, to take the reparations they imagine they were owed. Does that have any relation to the fact that although blacks are only 13% of the population, they commit 50% of the crime? And as we alluded to at the end of the last segment, there are stores, Walmart, for example, is closing in Portland, Oregon. They can't make a profit because so many people are going in and just walk, and they don't have to break anything. They go in calmly. They nonchalantly walk out with merchandise. As long as it's not over $950 in value, they can do so and not be prosecuted. What would prevent them from not doing that? People with no moral compasses. Targets, for example, are closing in downtown Chicago, Minneapolis, and Washington, D.C. And this is a trend, and he said, Doug Casey says, I expect this trend to continue. Not only isolated to the ghetto areas, but central business districts will be devoid of retail stores. Many large office buildings will be empty. Others will opt to become self-contained fortresses. And my commentary on Doug's comments there is that this is the perfect divide and conquer strategy. And it's also ordo ad caeo. Are you familiar with that Latin expression? Ordo ad caeo. It's order out of chaos.
I am familiar with that term,
Latin,
though.
Ordo ad caeo. Yeah, so the strategy for the globalists, and I don't want to get too much into the New World Order, but this is certainly a strategy that will facilitate our transition into a New World Order because, once things get very chaotic, that human nature is such that they will look for solutions. And they will be told through the controlled news media that the only solution will be this new world order, where some disinterested, unbiased solution of a world government will come in and save the day. But before that happens, there needs to be general chaos to where people get desperate enough. So this is the perfect strategy that I think they're implementing. And it will not be isolated to the cities. Like I said, these major retailers are moving out of these major cities where these problems are occurring. Well, where are these thugs going to get their food, clothing, and shelter, Sam? When these cities have melted down, they're going to have to move out into the more conservative towns and cities away from where they've destroyed. I mean, if you follow the trend line, there's no way that this cannot happen. Okay, let's talk about, he talks about Latin American countries. I didn't know this, Sam, but according to Doug Casey in this article, he says every country in South America, with the exception of Uruguay, is run by a doctrinaire socialist. And my commentary on that is no wonder they're flooding over the border, Their countries are failing economically. Why wouldn't you? I would. Even though it's illegal, sometimes people get desperate to the point where in the interest of their own and their family's prosperity, they have to make very desperate concessions. And so we're seeing that at the border. That's not helping the situation any.
And we're not justifying the concessions people have to make, but there is a hierarchy of moral imperatives that you've got to kind of go through with things. For example, thou shalt not steal is a true principle. But you know what? If my family's starving and I only have the choice to steal, I'm going to steal. Is it better to steal and, you know, or starve? You know, so that's an extreme example of the point, and we're not justifying any breaking of the Ten Commandments. But we are basically highlighting the reality when people are pushed beyond normal bounds due to wickedness, then you know what? There's no great answers as far as I can tell now. In San Francisco, they're even going so far as to put a reparations plan in place, right?
Yep, $5,000 is proposed. And I don't think even the idiots on the city council and the city of San Francisco are stupid enough to implement such a provision, because I think they realize that all of the wealth will just flee from the city. It will become a ghost town. Well, not a ghost town. The only people left will be the looters and the thugs, but eventually they'll leave town as well because they won't have any stores to loot. I mean, that sounds like a dystopian scenario to people that grew up in the generation that we grew up in would never imagine would happen. But I think a lot of people are opening their eyes to the possibility that we very well could see such scenarios. I certainly buy into it and believe that. And where are they going to go?
Brennan, I mean, writes an article about this very topic. It says this: San Francisco reparations plan proposes $5 million for black residents, right?
Yes. Yep. No, you're referring to this article. Yep. San Francisco could become the first major U.S. city to fund reparations under a plan that would award $5 million to each eligible black resident. This is from Gateway Pundit, I believe. Or is it? No, BBC News. Excuse me. Okay, a city-appointed panel also suggests guaranteed annual incomes of I'd like to make $97,000 a year for qualifying recipients. For doing what? Doesn't say. I guess they get it for just, you know, being black or being Hispanic.
No, you can't commit violent crimes if you get the cash, my friend.
Oh, yeah. See, there's your solution. You know, the solution is always worse than the problem, right? So,
yeah, because
you're
allowed
to
commit crimes because this, you know, you need to be able to feed yourself. But we'll give you money as long as you don't commit crimes. We'll just, you know, you just be able to kick back and couch surf and hang out and have a good time and play the pimped out Xbox and have a marvelous time promoting all kinds of perverted agendas. No problem. You can just run around with too much time on your hands and as an idle citizen, become the devil's workshop. No problem, sir. Just don't commit any violent crimes or you'll lose your money. Okay.
Yeah, I mean, as ridiculous as that may sound, Sam, a lot of people in their desperation will be willing to resort to such approaches because, you know, they'll be at their wits' end. You know, what else? Do you have a better idea? Yeah, I got a better idea. How about we keep the Ten Commandments? You want to talk about how socialism, and that's what it is, you know, they're just various forms of socialism. They're all theft. But not only that, I've identified 5 violations of God's laws by implementing.
We're
going to
talk about it, and we're going to talk about the incredible question that was asked by Mr. Casey. Why do we have a corrupt culture and a collapsing civilization? We'll talk about it in seconds with Chris Carlson on your radio.
Former Sheriff Richard Mack recounts in his book, The Proper Role of Law Enforcement, how he came to realize while working as a beat cop how wrong the all-too-common orientation of police officers is when they think of their job as being to write tickets and arrest people. Richard Mack tells of his personal transformation from by-the-number cop to constitution-conscious defender of citizen safety and freedoms. Learn what it really means to serve and protect. Purchase your copy at cspoa.org. That's cspoa.org.
Do you know what is great about America? Ask an immigrant. Ask an Immigrant is a new podcast dedicated to helping Americans, especially our youth, value, appreciate, and be grateful for the freedoms we have here in America. Join host Lydia Wallace Nuttall as she interviews immigrants from around the world to discover their inspiring personal stories about why they came to America. To learn more about why America is the most prosperous, greatest country in the world, download the Loving Liberty app or go to lovingliberty.net.
Why does the left lie constantly? Because they get spiritual power from lying. The lies come from Satan, the father of lies. John 8:44. Here's how the political lying process works. Satan provides the beast with a lie. Then the more they use the lie, the more spiritual power they get. Look, the media is a lie multiplier, and this multiplication gives more evil, spiritual power to the beast, and that can overwhelm and even deceive the body of Christ, especially when the body is being disobedient to the head. The churches today are incorporated, so they're subordinate to human government. They obey the beast and do nothing to restore our national relationship with God. And the government shall be on his shoulders, Isaiah 9:6. That verse is not for the present-day church. Rather, it is for the end-time church, the body of the line of Judah. A message from Christ Kingdom Ministries.
Why do we have a corrupt culture and a collapsing civilization, Chris?
Okay, good question. I'm going to answer that in two or three sentences here. Doug Casey says, but this type of thing happens not because they're poor, black, or there aren't enough police, but because people no longer have a sense of right and wrong. The police are loath to stop them for fear of being called racist. And I add to that, and this is my comment, the churches are just as afraid, and for the same reason. The churches, including the church to which I belong, Sam, is afraid to condemn these developments in these major cities. And a lot of these churches are in the more settled areas, like here in Utah. We don't have those issues yet. But do you think that the churches are going to start waking up if the stores that are in their neighborhoods are ransacked? I hope we don't wait that long, but I got a feeling that that's going to have to happen. And they don't want to, these mobs that ransack these stores, they call them flash mobs because they work in groups. I guess they do that because it gives the police a sense that they're overwhelmed and they don't want to, you know, get involved. But the churches are not speaking out. And I have a lot to say about that, Sam. But before I do, well, no, let's not talk about that. I mentioned
well,
that,
let's do this. Let's highlight the reality of these Ten Commandments that you mentioned, though, because really our separation from the Ten Commandments as a moral code is really the problem. Individually, as a family point of view, and societally speaking as well, Chris.
Okay, let's do that. Okay, socialism is a repudiation of every principle of Christianity. It is a violation of six of the Ten Commandments. So let's start with commandment number one. I am the Lord thy God, which have brought thee out of the land of Egypt, out of the house of bondage. Thou shalt have no other gods before me. Now, let's go back to the fact that God has brought the children of Israel out of Egypt, out of the house of bondage. So he is the great deliverer. And he can deliver us from poverty. He can deliver us from chaos. He can deliver us from the social and economic morass that we are rapidly sinking into. But are Christians turning to God for solutions? Many of them are, Sam, but sadly, many of them are looking to government for solutions. And if you look to government for solutions, you're going to get the same solutions that have been provided for the last 50 years on these issues. You know, just throw more money at the issues. Just give them more concessions. Give them more entitlements. They'll be content. No, you cannot appease evil.
Promote more dishonest perversions, Chris. That's what they want to do. That's their answer. All you got to do is promote more government control, more tyranny, less liberty, more mandates, more victimizations. That supposedly will solve the problem. And you look at that and you say, you know, of all the insults to injury over the last couple of years, they've now added to the gay, lesbian, bisexual, transgender agenda, the transgender idea, where you can't even debate what a man or a woman is now. You can't even articulate what it is and have people understand or agree with you, acknowledge the scientific XX, XY discussion, right?
Nope, unless you're a biologist, of course.
Well, then you're
kind of
allowed to.
Maybe we should all go back to college and get biology degrees, and then we can figure that out.
Well, but see, the problem, folks, is the truth, and this is the truth that we need to stand on. Scientifically, it is not debatable. There is a binary. There's male and female. It is not debatable, Chris.
Yep. And if we look to God, I mean, God is, I guess, you know, he makes those distinctions. And if we're not content or satisfied with what God has decreed, we're rebelling against God if we think that we should have been born a woman when we're a man, or vice versa. And it is a form of idolatry. It is a form of rebellion against divine authority. And I don't think God takes too kindly to people who rebel against him after all that he has given us. He asks in the second commandment, thou shalt make unto thee any graven images or any likeness of anything that is in heaven above, or that is in earth beneath, or that in the water under the earth. In other words, do not engage in idolatry. And that's exactly what we're doing. You know, when we put our trust in anything but the creator of this universe, who is God, the creator of our very bodies and our ability to breathe and to move about, you know, that is a slap in the face of our Heavenly Father, who loves us very much and would very much like us to be happy. But when we rebel against him, he does not have a choice but to withdraw his spirit from us. And as we rebel more and more, his spirit is withdrawn more and more. And eventually we get turned over to the buffetings of Satan. And if we as a nation in general find ourselves in that situation, we will go the way of all of the other civilizations that have preceded us. The great Greek civilizations, the great Assyrian civilizations, the Roman Empire, et cetera, et cetera. But we don't seem to learn from history. Let's continue on these commandments, Sam. Thou shalt not kill. Okay, I know socialism on paper is not murderous, but in practice it always has been. You look at the Stalinist socialist regime and the USSR. He killed millions of innocent people.
And here's the reason, Chris. Liberty requires patience and kindness and love and influence and long-suffering. And tyranny requires force. And so in order to get socialism and or communism or any of these roads that lead straight to hell, you have got to have the element of force. Now, socialism just says we're not going to focus on the element of force. We're going to have force behind the scenes, but pretend it's peaceful and by choice. Communism says we're going to double down and do it more by force in your face. It's not really any different in the ideology in the end. It's just a difference of how you deliver it. Am I in your face about it or gentle and kind as I lead you straight to hell and tyranny? Okay, but force is always the element of anybody or anything that doesn't promote liberty or God. Anything else will end up in force because they have no other way.
Mm-hmm. Because intuitively, the human spirit knows that socialism is just a disguised form of theft. And, you know, we naturally, based on righteous indignation, rebel against such forms of tyranny against the human species. So, death and destruction automatically follow socialism wherever it is implemented, as you pointed out, Sam. Thou shalt not steal. I don't think I need to articulate a whole lot on this commandment. Socialism is just a legalized form of stealing, even though it's by the government. Even though that government may be democratically elected, it doesn't matter. Stealing is stealing. You know, don't try to hide behind democracy and say, well, this is a democratically elected government. They have the right to do whatever the will of the people dictates. Number five, thou shalt not bear false witness against thy neighbor. The whole concept of socialism is a lie. To suggest that one group of people is entitled to another group of people's money because one group of people chooses to be lazy and indolent, while another group of people chooses to be hardworking and thrifty, that's bearing false witness. That is a lie. Number six, thou shalt not covet thy neighbor's house. Thou shalt not covet thy neighbor's wife.
nor his manservant, nor his maidservant, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. Socialism is supported from the grassroots level by covetousness. Somebody decides that they want something that they're not willing to make the sacrifices or hard work to acquire. So they're going to elect a government that will do that on their behalf because of
Yeah, and oftentimes it's kind of like the chicken or the egg on this principle, Chris, because on one hand, you know, you want to work for stuff, and those who want socialism or those who don't want to work for things want to use to pull the lever of government to take it. But oftentimes people can't have the fruits of their labors and have things because the government prohibits it. Right now, 50% of my income and yours and everybody else's literally goes to government taxes so they can go ahead and make more rules, making it even harder. So it's kind of like the chicken and the egg when it comes to that. Government's the problem, not the solution, but because of government, we create a bigger problem. Then people go to government to try to create the solution, creating a bigger problem. And we go round and round and round that horn. Tell me about Snowball, Chris.
Oh, the total socialists. We provide everything for them, and that's my fault. I got to keep feeding them the greenies. I don't know if you've never had a dog, you don't know what greenies are. They're expensive treats that we have to keep feeding him. And when he barks, he knows.
No, you don't.
More often than not, I got to give him a greenie.
No, you don't. You don't have to do that at all.
Yeah, we have socialists living amongst them. I know.
You realize you don't have to do that at all, right?
Maybe I wouldn't make a very good leader then, would I? I would just succumb to the expectations of my people, whether good or evil.
Yeah, you can't have that.
I know.
You got to stand on things. You got to say, listen, you know what? This is the way it works around here, and here's why. But nevertheless, though, this highlights a real socialism principle, right?
Oh, no, yeah. It's a very good illustration of the very principle that we've been discussing for the last 5 minutes, Sam. I appreciate you bringing that up and making me feel guilty about that. So maybe I need to reform just as much as the rest of this nation.
Well, so let's talk about it, though. The dog demands something and has a bad behavior, illustrating the bad behavior to get what the dog wants, right? This is no different than children.
Yes.
Okay, parents cave into their children, give them whatever they want. When the kid throws a temper tantrum, kid gets a lollipop or a popsicle or whatever. Politicians run and say, I'll give you candy if you elect me, Chris. This is no different in government or anything else. It's not attacking you. It's just a fundamental principle that your illustration highlights, right?
Absolutely. Can't argue with you on that point, Sam. I stand corrected. I will repent.
but it's important to understand, though, we cannot let bad behavior breed the results that it wants, because it will do nothing but increase and get worse and become so demanding that we can't eventually stop it. It feeds upon itself, right?
Well, and we're seeing that very phenomenon being unfolded in these major cities, where people have been convinced that because of the color of their skin, they've been denied certain privileges in society. And, you know, the more they believe that and the more destructive behavior they get away with, the more they are reinforced with that lie and that distortion of reality. And we had better be very careful. And you would think, Sam, and I want to get into this really deeply, you would think that the Christian churches would stand up in defense of that position that I just articulated, but they are not. They are not. And it's just mind-boggling that they are not, because as a religious leader, if I'm not a religious leader, but if I were, that would be the first order of business. Let's get society in order before we talk about, you know, how much Jesus and God loves us and he forgives us of our sins and, you know, everybody has equal worth and all those things are true, but they don't happen to be very practical in a chaotic scenario that we are vastly bringing upon society. We need to get the foundational elements in order before we can talk about the fuzzy-wuzzy stuff.
This is a two-hour special broadcast with Chris Carlson, ladies and gentlemen. Listen up. We've highlighted the problem in America very well with Doug Casey's incredible article. All right, socialism is a repudiation. Communism is a repudiation of every principle of Christianity. And you know what? We, the people, are going along with these socialist, communist, tyrannical agendas. Why do we have a corrupt culture and a collapsing civilization? Because we're turning away from God. The answer is to repent and turn to God, right? We'll talk about doing that. There's a man leading this effort that you might want to hear about across the country with an opportunity for you to get involved. This is Liberty Roundtable Live. Chris Carlson, Sam Bushman. God save the Republic of the United States of America.